How many of you grew up in church? How many of you grew up in church? Just raise your hand. Golly, look at all of you. Do you know John 3:16? Of course you do. Right? For God so loved what? The world. Right? For God so loved the world, he loved that he gave. Because he loved, he gives. And he gives his first and his best, right? Jesus. So that what? So that whoever would believe, whosoever would believe in him would not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. You know, I've been struggling with some sinuses this week and woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning a couple days ago. And I happened to come across Tim Tebow telling testimony. Tim Tebow played for the University of Florida, was Heisman Trophy winner in, I think, 2000. I don't even say it. I'm not even sure. And then the next year, as they would head to the national championship, the very first rival game, they were stretching him for the game, and these other players were putting the eye blacks underneath their eyes, and they were putting words on him like mom or their area code or whatever. And he thought at that moment, I'm going to put scripture on mine. And so he puts Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so they go through an undefeated season. He says, I'm in the tunnel getting ready to go to the SEC championship against Alabama. And all of a sudden, something comes over me that I need to change the verse of scripture. And he says, you know, when you're in the tunnel, that's all you're thinking about. You're just thinking about this game. I mean, there's nothing else on your mind. And all of a sudden, this thing comes into my mind. And I'm thinking, now? Do we do it now? I don't even know which one to do. Well, he thinks about it and he says, you know, if we win, we have a national championship 6 weeks, and maybe I can have it the different one on. So he goes out and he plays, and for 6 weeks, praise to the Lord. God, which verse? And he put John 3:16 on it. They go through the game, they win the game, you know, they win the national championship, undefeated season, an awesome year. A day later, he's eating lunch with Urban Meyer, his coach, and his parents. And Urban gets a call from their PR guy. The PR guy's talking. It's kind of exciting. He hangs up, and Tim says to his coach, Coach, what's up? He said, Tim, I just heard from our PR guy. I don't remember the name. I don't. And he got a call from Google. And during the game, 90 million people Googled John 3:16. 90 million people. 90 million people who didn't know John 3:16. Do you know John 3:16? I've been in ministry for many years, pastor for 39 years. I don't think I've ever mentioned it from time to time, but I've never preached on John 3:16. Those of us who've grown up, we've heard it as a child, so we think it's a child verse. It's not a verse for children. It's a verse for every single person who knows he needs Jesus. Because the world needs to know that they're loved by God. And if you're loved by God, there's something about his love that moves them to different places, just like he moves you when you believe. Amen? John 3:16. A people who know the love of God and what that means and what it means forever. For God so loved the world. Let me tell you something about the world. God so loved the world. What does that mean? Well, the word the world can mean a lot of different things. It can mean just the earth or the universe. It can also mean the inhabitants of the earth. It can mean men, the human family. It can mean the ungodly multitude, the whole mass of men alienated from God and therefore hostile to the cause of Christ. When he says he loves the world, he's not saying he loves the things of the world, but he loves the people of the world. The men and women of the world. That's what he means. But I want you to just kind of dig a little deeper of what that really means. He loves the people of the world. People who have not been very nice to the name of God. Matter of fact, have been evil to the name of God, who have lived evil lives, sinful lives. I know a lot of us in here think that we're pretty good. I mean, I would say, yeah, I think y'all are pretty good. But and the bottom line is have any of you ever told a lie? A bunch of lies? Well, what do they call a person who tells lies? Liars. And we can just go on and on and on about how good we're not apart from Jesus Christ. I want you to turn, or hopefully it's on the screen, 1 John chapter 2. I just want to give you just an idea of the world, of the people of the world, the ways of the world. 1 John chapter 2. Is it on? Yeah. Notice what it says. It's on the screen. Do not love the world, nor the things of the world. But wait a minute, God just said, for God so loved the world. Well, again, context is everything. What he's telling the church is, listen, don't love the things of the world, the way of the world. The world, it's just passing away, right? 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, do not love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, now watch, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world that's passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. We are a people given to the world, the fallen world. Jesus died for the people that were fallen in the world, you and me. For God so loved the world that this world that was full of lusts, lust of flesh, lust of eyes, boastful pride of life, and all the stuff that comes from it. That's who he died for. That's who he loved. He loved so very much. If you're in your Bibles or on the screen, whichever comes up, Romans chapter 1, verse 28. Not going to read this whole passage, but I just want you to see. I want us to see and to be reminded who he died for, whom he loved. In this passage of Scripture, in the beginning of Romans, where Paul's going to be talking very extensive about salvation and what this salvation means to us, and he's talking about unbelief and its consequences. He's talking about the wrath of God coming against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. He's talking about people who do awful, awful things. They've exchanged the glory of God for the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and animals. They exchange the truth of God for the lie. And they do unspeakable things. Listen to me. That are no longer unspeakable. We become so familiar with it that even us, when we see it, we don't blush anymore. Or we can get angry about it. We can become defensive about it. But we don't blush about it anymore. Once those things that were unspeakable that are now speakable, and you can see it in movies, in programs, and you can see it all over. You know what I'm talking about. Whether it's the degradation of sexual sin or anger and murder, we've become so accustomed to that that we no longer blush about it. Now we know it's wrong, and we hate it. But God died for them. God died for the world. Jesus died, sent for the world. Verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do the things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They're gossips. Wow. Slanders, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they knew the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them. We see it all over, folks. It's all over. It's in our schools. It's in our news. It's in our entertainment. It's in our social media. It is everywhere. And what's my point? For God so loved them that he gave his only begotten son, that if they, or whosoever, believes in him, they might not perish. They might not have this wrath of God on them. They might not be given over to the sin and the sinful nature, but that they would be saved forever for the glory of God. He loves. And he loves so much that he gives. He gives his only begotten son. That's who he came to save. He came to save and love. He came to love sinners. He loves so much that he gave. Let me ask you a question. Do you love so much that you give? I mean, that's what's in you if you got Jesus. Do you love the sinner? There are lots of folks, they don't love sinners, and they know they're one. They've been one. Walked in it. Yet God delivered them. God pulled them out. God did this work. Put the Spirit of God in them so that we can walk by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, to see God work in our lives, our families, our marriages, our sons, our daughters, our grandchildren. Who are teaching their children to be all in for Jesus. Not part way. Not just a slice of the week. But he's the centerpiece of our lives. Why? Because he's worthy. He is worthy of our worship, our allegiance, our entire lives. Why is he worthy? Because God so loved that he gave his only one and only son. So that we could believe and not perish. Folks, God is love. Turn to 1 John chapter 4, if you would. 1 John chapter 4. Maybe you're still there from 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I'm sorry, 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God. He knows God. Now, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. No, notice, it's just, we not only have eternal life, but in this passage, John is saying, listen, if you have eternal life, it's because you're going to live in him. You're going to live for him. We're going to live through him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us, sent his son, to be the propitiation for our sins. Let me tell you what propitiation is. It's just paying the debt. That's what that means. It's atonement. When Jesus said it's finished, he says it's over. The debt has been paid. The debt of your sin and my sin. Hallelujah forever. He gave his only begotten son. He loved. Why? Because he loved so much that he took your sin. He took your vile thoughts. He took my junk. He took it all and he bore it on the cross, bore it on his body to take it away from you so that you might live through him. Why? Because he loved you. And he loved you so much that he'd rather die than live, listen to this, all eternity without you. So much he loved you. Folks, that's why he's the only way to the Father. There are not 10 ways to the Father. There's only one way. There's no other name by which men can be saved. And it's through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why we gather here. He's the one and only, the only way. There is not another way to God. No other religion talks about the God coming in the flesh, God coming in the flesh and bearing the sins of the world as the perfect sacrifice, dying in your place. That's why he's the only way. You with me? It's the only way. And although you might have compassion on somebody who says there's many ways to God, I'm telling you this, there's not any other ways to God. He's the only way. Because let me tell you, if he's not the only way, why in the world did he have to die? If there's all these many ways to God, then why did God have to step down, put on human flesh, live perfect life, and then be nailed to the cross with the whole world's sins on him? He's the only way. And if you have a doctrine that says something different, you're trampling on the blood of Jesus. Amen. He's the only way. He is the only way. Why? Because God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only son. He loved us for the propitiation, the atonement for our sins, dying in our place. And beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. But if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he's given us his spirit. And we've also seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be Savior of the world. And whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. I mean, he goes on. God is love. And the one who abides in God, and God abides in him. By this love is perfected, verse 17, with us so that we may have confidence in the day of trouble, judgment. Because as he is, watch, so also are we in this world. Therefore, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment. Listen, the word punishment is not the same word for discipline. Fear involves punitive penalty. Okay. And he died to save you from the penalty of sin. God so loved the world. We love because he first loved us. Now watch, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should, ought, love his brother also. For God so loved the world. Loved so much that he became a sacrifice for you and me. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, that he died while we were helpless, while we were ungodly sinners, while we were enemies of God. He died for you when he was there, when you were there, when you were in the pit, doing your thing, thinking you were happy, when you knew you were miserable. No, while you were a sinner, he died. While you were helpless, he died. While you were ungodly, while we were enemies of the cross, for God so loved the world, for God so loved the ungodly, for God so loved the enemies of God, for God so loved. The sinner. Do you know that? Do you know it today? You go to Romans 8, don't have enough time to do that this morning. Do it this week. Do it sometime today. But I'm telling you this, that God's love keeps us. He not only saves us, he not only redeems us, he no longer delivers us, but he keeps us. That's how great this love is. This is not some, that's what perfect love does. Let me tell you, if God can't keep you to the end, then is his love perfect? No! His love is perfect. That's the power of it. That's the power of his love. And we know that when you look at all scriptures, listen to this. Love saves, rescues, delivers, and redeems. John 3:16, Ephesians 2:4. Love calls us sons and daughters, 1 John 3:1-3. Love covers a multitude of sins, 1 Peter 4:8, James 5:20. Love forgives, releases, and forgets. Love does no wrong to his neighbor, Romans 13:10. Love of Christ controls us, 2 Corinthians 5:14. And love, this love is patient. That means he's patient with us. He's kind to us. He's unprovoked. He doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. He's never rude to us, but he bears all things. It hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And if God is love, God never fails. Amen. But this is how the world finds him. They hear the word and they believe the word. For God so loved the world that he gave his first and best. By the way, whenever I think the first and best, Jesus, Romans chapter 8 in the final passages says, hey, if he didn't spare his first and best, how can he not give you the rest? Everything you need, the ability, the power, needs met, desires met, good desires, not bad desires. Where God comes and forms us into Christ's likeness. Where the church, your leaders, they desire everything, anything that you can get to so that Christ is fully formed in you. I live with this. Till Christ is formed in us. It's what Paul says. It's what every minister, every pastor, every apostle, every prophet ought to be saying and speaking and loving. Every leader, every Sunday school teacher on the square, in the house, in the youth. We are in labor until Christ is formed into our children and our grandchildren and our youth and our young adults and our seniors. Christ being fully formed in you. That's the love of God, but it's also the love of the church, because the love of the church is the love of God. Scripture says he freely gives us all things. If he gave you the first, if he gave you the best, he'll give you the rest of what you need for the rest of your life. But here's the deal. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe that? Willow made a public profession of her faith this morning. She came to believe that what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, she did just for her. She knows of the love of God that would take her out of sin, sinful habits, and protect her even as she moves through her teens and her young adult. That's what God wants to do with our children. Am I saying that it always works out? No, I don't. But I have to believe eventually it does. No matter where your child is, no matter where your son is, and all the things that you have plugged into their life and poured into their life, we have this hope, this anticipation that what God started, he finishes. Because God so loved us. I want you to think about something with me before we close. He will never perish, but have everlasting life. You will never perish in hell, but have eternal life in Christ in heaven. I want you to turn to Matthew 25. We're going to close with this morning. Matthew chapter 25. These are parables of the kingdom of God. Verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. That's the Son of God that God sent. That's Jesus, only begotten. This is the only begotten here. And all the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He's going to put the sheep on his right, goats on the left. And then the king, that's the Son of Man, right? That is the only begotten Son of the Father, because it says the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Remember, for God so loved the world, he gave. Now watch, what his people do who believe in him. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave to me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. You gave me a place. You gave me a place at the table. You gave me a bed for the night. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. For God so loved the world that he gave. And when he gives to you, and you get all that he gives to you, which is everything he has for you, you can't help but grow in love and be a giver and never again a taker. Oh, you can be a receiver, but not a taker. You give of your life, you give of your resources, you give your money, you give your time, you give your talents. You give it, why? Because he's the centerpiece of your life. He's first, foremost. Because the first and foremost came, and he gave. And he died a wicked death, an evil death, bearing your sins on his body. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, I think it says this. Listen, you can't keep on living the way of the world. Why? Because his seed abides in you. And you can't keep on doing that stuff. Now that ought to be two things. It might bring conviction to you, or it brings great faith to you. And they're both good. Conviction and faith. Oh, it means I wake up one day and say, I can't keep doing this. I can't keep treating my family this way. I can't keep talking to my husband this way. I can't keep treating my wife this way. I got to get right with my mother-in-law. I can get right with my brother, my friend, my wife. Why? Because God so loved that he gave. And he's our Father. And his son, Jesus, is our bigger brother. That's what he calls us. Firstborn among many brethren. Notice it, folks. They gave to Jesus when they were given to these strangers. Now the righteous, and by the way, the righteous are only righteous by faith, not because they did these things. Okay, really important. The righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and you gave me something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, invite you in, naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to the one of these brothers of mine, even the least of these, you did it to me. For 18 years, I got to go into prison. Every second Wednesday, and preach to 200, 300 guys. And the very first time I went out, I walked out. You got to go through 8 gates. Fill up 8 or 9, 10, something like that, right? And I go out this first gate where the chapel was, and I go out the second gate, and every time it's like something came over me, and I went, oh, I just saw Jesus. Out of nowhere. It's only a believer because that makes sense. My last time out, rejoicing I got to go in, didn't know it would be my last time. Walked out that gate, went to the second gate. Oh, I just saw Jesus. When you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to him. You've done it to him. It's the beauty of a heavenly journey that starts the day you came to Jesus and ends the day you see him face to face when you're like him. And then you have all of eternity to live life with this great God. Did going to prison for 18 years save me? No. Did it keep me? No. Lots of people can do that kind of stuff and still go to hell. Remember, it's the righteous, and it's the righteous by faith. Whoever believes in me will not perish. Why? Because they're the righteous of God, who know they're unworth without Christ, who know that they're totally bankrupt without him, who know they need him. And somehow when God gets a hold of their life, they say yes, and they quit saying no. Because it might be the last time that you get to say yes. It might be the last time. If God has been chasing you and knocking on your door, it's time to open and believe this. You say, well, I believe this all my life. Well, let me ask you, what are you doing for the least of these? What's coming out of our lives? Because my Bible says that the righteous will say, when do we see you do these things? We were just doing what was on our heart. Truly I say to you, the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them did it to me. And then he will say to on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, an eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. And they themselves will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, stranger, naked? We've never seen your face before. I'm sick in prison, did not take care of you. And you'll say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. I want you to bow with me, prayer. Would you do that? For God so loved you. That he gave you, or sent you, gave you his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, who believes in him, shall never, ever perish, but have eternal life. Not just quantity of life, but a quality of life in Christ. I want to ask the question, do you have this kind of faith? Because you could go into prison for 18 years and not have that faith. You can go to nursing homes, philanthropy without Christ. That doesn't save you. Question is, do you believe in the one and only Jesus? It's interesting here. I know you got your eyes closed, but I just want you to go with me in this. The word is a present participle. It's like a noun being described like a verb, and it means this: the ones who are believing into him will never perish but have everlasting life. Are you believing into him today? Right now, right here. Not just when you were 8, 15, 21, 31, 71, but today. Are you believing into him? And I'm telling you this, if you'll do that, if you'll open your heart to faith and believe, maybe you're here today and you've drifted far from God, but you know he started a work. I want to just encourage you, run back to him today, this Mother's Day. Run back this day. And if you've never given your life to Christ, would this be the day that God's opening your heart to believe that what he did 2,000 years ago, he did just for you. Oh God, I pray it so. I ask that the Spirit of living God would fall fresh upon us in a mighty way to take this verse of Scripture that 90 million people Googled to see what John 3:16 was. And I pray, God, that just as that football player, he carried it on his eye black, but he also carries it in his heart. And this is who we are. We're John 3:16 people. Maybe your children one day, maybe our children, Lord, will one day open it up and see it and go, oh, that's my dad. That's my mom. That's my grandma, my grandpa. That's my Sunday school teacher. I see it. I know it. And oh God, I pray that for us today. I ask, carrying you in our heart would truly mean this message, that God so loved me that he gave me his only begotten son, that when I believed in him, I will never perish, but have eternal life. And if I have that same kind of love, oh God, should I not have that same kind of love to the people around me? But Lord, I pray that you would forgive us of our selfishness, our self-directed lives. I pray that, God, that we would be so Christ-directed, God-directed, God-centered, that, Father, that we can't help but love. The Navajo, the Lakota Sioux, like our brother is. The Tarahumara, the Haani, the Khmer people. And oh God, our people, our tribes, our neighbors, our work, people we work with. God, I pray for that kind of love. Lord, I want to thank you in Jesus' name that you loved us enough to send Jesus to us. Thank you for this gift. How can we not turn from our sin today? How can we not repent? How can we not be what you've called us to be? I pray that you'd raise up amongst us a church that gives of herself to the world, at home, and any place in between. Oh God, do that work, we pray. Thank you for loving us, sending Jesus, and birthing within us faith. And I pray it'll be stronger than ever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.